Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want a $1,000 weight loss medication for $50? It all starts with Rose free GLP-1 insurance check. Just upload your insurance card to see if you have coverage, then relax. Over 200,000 people have qualified for a $50 copay through Roe. Go to roe.co/health. Half of covered patients have a $50 per month copay or less for medication, plus $145 monthly Roe membership fee. Deductible costs may apply and final cost varies by insurance plan. For safety information about GLP-1 medications, including boxed warning, go to roe.co/safety, Rx only.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. So glad you can join us, and so glad live from the NHL Combine in Buffalo, Sean Shapiro will join us in just a minute. Let's talk about the on-time experts and how great they are. It's supposed to be rainy all weekend long in North Texas, so a lot of us are going to be indoors. You know what? That's a great time, actually, to get your AC unit completely cleaned. The on-time experts have that first-time customer $59 special. Also, $99 first-time customer, first-floor drain cleaning special. See, these specials, you can knock them out, and you could be watching a movie while they do it. And the best part, same-day service guaranteed. And what does that mean? That means you call them, and it's not going to be like, okay, we'll be at your house sometime between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. No, they will keep you updated throughout the day. They will be there the day they say they're going to be there. They're not going to call you and say, sorry, our technicians are held up, because they have so many technicians throughout DFW ready to serve you. I'm a customer for life, and I want you to be a customer for life. They proudly sponsor Spits and Suds. They proudly sponsor the Dallas Stars. And by the way, 4.8 out of 5 stars, nearly 6,000 reviews. If that was a restaurant, you guys would be begging to get a reservation. So don't wait. Get and become an on-time experts customer for life. The on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. We go live to Buffalo, New York. I don't believe it's as nice as Kelowna, Canada. But what a privilege we have. He was at the Memorial Cup last weekend. And this weekend, he's at the NHL Scouting Combine in Buffalo, New York. We say hello to our NHL and Stars Insider. And you can read all of the material. And it's just coming out. Content galore. I love his off-season content. At Shapshots, that's his Substack. He also writes for D Magazine, where he had a new article posted yesterday. And don't forget about the YouTube site with our friend Robert Tiffin, Algorithmically Incorrect Hockey. It is terrific. Blake Fiddler was the guest. So terrific interview with Blake. We bring on Sean Shapiro. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Gavin. And I will, well, this is not Kelowna. I will give Buffalo some credit. It is a city that, while we joke sometimes, it is definitely it's the weather is beautiful. We got some really good chicken wings last night.
Nice.
And I'm then hung out and watched the hockey game after obviously a busy day of work. So here at the scouting combine today, and it's funny, Gavin. It's like you and I probably will have the deeper conversation soon about the draft and whether it should or shouldn't be remote and everything, but this is kind of the final gathering, league gathering before the draft, since the draft itself now is kind of the pseudo remote stuff that has been a bit awkward, and it doesn't really go really as smoothly, even though we'll be back. I'll be back in Buffalo for that in 2 weeks or whatever the 26th through 28th is, however far away that is.
And this is the place where the conversations begin to happen, right, Sean? Mm-hmm. Where sometimes we'll see trades on draft day, and those conversations many times start at the combine.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens here. It's funny, we were in the hotel lobby here yesterday, and if you ever wanted to kind of watch a bunch of hockey writers and people trying to eavesdrop all at once, Bill Guerin, the Wild GM, and Don Waddell, the Blue Jackets GM, sat down and had lunch together, like literally right in front of all of us, like in front of kind of this down in the hotel lobby. And so it was nothing came of it or anything, but I thought it was just kind of one of those funny things. And Guerin is Guerin's pretty. And I know obviously some Stars fans aren't super happy with Bill Guerin because of the Jason Robertson Olympic stuff, and obviously his team beat the Stars in the playoffs. But I do have a lot of respect for the way Bill Guerin kind of is willing to have fun with some of that stuff, because he kind of joked that I'm going to see a bunch of tweets about this. So,
yeah. And you know what's interesting is, trades aside, you know, Jim Neal does not have a lot of people that he can talk to that are at his level. So GMs having lunch, you know, could be basically, you know, just talking shop, not necessarily trades.
Yeah, it's the whole, like, this whole week at the Combine is an information business. And it's, like, I think the best way to look at it is we know the Toronto Maple Leafs have the number one pick. And, we know Gavin McKenna is probably going to go number one. And if Gavin McKenna doesn't go number one, which would be pretty stunning, he'll probably going to go number two. And yet Gavin McKenna still has, I think, anywhere from 20 to 25 NHL teams that are meeting with him at the combine this week. And why are they doing that? Well, that's where you gather intel on the player. That's where you gather intel on the person. And I think that's a big part of this whole, the whole business when it comes to team management, building teams, hockey, all of this. And it happens in all sports. I can only speak from the hockey perspective. It's so much about building the book so you have as much intel as possible within the league. And that's kind of like, so when you see Guerin and Waddell having lunch and you see Jim talking to someone, it's not necessarily that a trade is going to happen. Now those things might lead to trades and those relationships are building, but I think that's an important part to look at this, where you got to remember about the biggest part about all of this stuff and where all this goes is where can you get the most intel, and then how can you have that base for when you need it, right? Because like the whole, I spoke with Carson Carroll yesterday morning. He's might go number two to San Jose. Carson Carroll's is probably not going to be there for some other teams later in the draft, obviously. But for these teams that meet with him, there's definitely some intel to learn about him and this guy that's joining the league, or maybe it's the more you can spend. The Stars do a really good job of that, and I think that kind of answers the question there, Gavin.
Yeah, no, you did it. You did a very good job. Answering that, was there a lot of talk regarding whether or not the non-goal should have been challenged by Vegas last night as Carolina ties up the series at one?
There was definitely some conversation at the bar last night talking to some people that were right around. I look at it and it's like it's a tough play. It's a tough call. I will say this, cause we had Kelly Forbes on our show a couple weeks back now, talking about kind of the challenges and everything like that. And obviously the stakes are different for the Stanley Cup final than a regular season game. But Kelly was a big believer in you got to make sure that you're
100% right on this. And I don't mind the Vegas gamble because I think it could have been. Honestly, there's parts of me, if I overwatch it over and over again,
yeah,
probably is a goal. And it's that's a tough call. But I also know with how the league handles things, it's hard to, like, I haven't done a straw poll here. I'll be honest. I haven't done a straw poll with people or anything like that. But I do believe that for Vegas, when you're playing with house money, pun intended here, I don't mind Vegas doing what they did. And it's, they probably had a pretty good case too.
Yeah. It was very interesting because I thought it was a no goal based on the whistle, but mm-hmm. when they said yeah. goaltender interference, I'm like, what? And I'm looking it over yeah. and I'm saying, well, okay, where's the interference? So
yeah,
I'm with you, Sean. I actually thought, like, I mean, tough challenge at that time, but I certainly would have thought about it because I think that caught a lot of people by surprise because the crowd was so loud you couldn't hear the official announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Okay. One quickie. Allen's own JP Herbert, who we had on Spits and Suds, any buzz surrounding him regarding the draft?
I mean, we have with JP, we have him, I think I'm going to pull this up here because we have our draft guide over at EP came out earlier this week.
Yep.
And obviously it's just anyone. We had JP kind of, we had him in the late first round. That seems to be kind of the general range for him. I haven't spoken to JP yet this week. I'm hoping to try to grab him here. But I know there's a bunch of teams on his list that are meeting with him. Obviously I'm looking forward to, I'll get to see him up close a little bit more next year because he'll play at Michigan, about 25 minutes from my house when I'm not yep. in Buffalo. And, the fascinating thing about this draft, Gavin, and is you have Herbert's kind of in that range where after the top probably 13 or 14 prospects in this draft, you have there's kind of a wild list all over the place for anywhere from 14 to 50, where there's almost, I've seen anywhere from 50 different names people have in that range. Like, this draft is really fascinating with where it's going to be. And so it's just going to be with JP, it's going to be which team sees him as a fit, where he's going to go. He's someone who, if he can go late first round, I think he's going to end up in a spot where his game's going to be allowed to develop a little bit more. But a really good player, fun player to watch. Someone that I know, I think he had a good amount of teams. I believe there was something like 20 something teams on to meet with him this week. So,
yes. Yes. And also, Emil Hemming's brother is up for this draft, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting. I cannot wait to talk more draft with you as we get closer.
Oscar Hemming, who had a fascinating year playing, joining Boston College halfway through after kind of a weird thing. He's kind of in that same range as JP Herbert, where he's probably, like, we had him higher at elite prospects. We had him 18 on our list, but once again, he's in, depending on which team and the draft and everything like that, he's kind of in that group where you could see anything from 15 to from pick 15 to 50. There's so many names involved there right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So glad I had you on because the NHL was buzzing yesterday mm-hmm. and I'm not, you know, I toot Sean's horn, so I don't have to keep tooting it, but listen, if anyone's dialed in to Dallas Stars / Detroit Red Wings, it is Sean Shapiro. And Sean also has covered Dylan Larkin for numerous years. So the story comes out, Dylan Larkin requesting a trade. Now, he does have a no movement clause. However, it was just a massive story in hockey. And What's interesting is all of a sudden Stars fans are throwing out there, and a couple of them sent me messages. Would you do it? Dylan Larkin for Jason Robertson. So two parts, Sean. Let's start with why Larkin wants out of Detroit. And then second, interest from teams, because it's a, I think there's 4 years left on the contract as well.
So let's start with the kind of how we got here, right? So Dylan Larkin is 29 years old. He was obviously a first round pick by Detroit in 2014. He is from Michigan, has lived in Michigan his entire life, played at the NTDP, based in Michigan, played at the University of Michigan for a season, and then played for the Red Wings, and has lived in basically the same geographic area for his entire life. He's also 29 years old, and despite having played more than 800 regular season games with the Red Wings, has played just 5 playoff games. The Red Wings have missed 10 straight playoffs. Larkin's been the captain. It's been a frustrating, difficult setup for him. And it's gotten kind of, the seeds of this have just kind of gotten worse over the past couple seasons, where I don't think there's any animosity between Larkin and his teammates or anything like that, but there's been some growing dissent between Larkin and Red Wings GM Steve Yzerman. And the reality is, there was, I think a lot of this goes back to not a battle, but there was a little bit of a pushing back and forth between them when Larkin signed his 8-year extension during the 22-23 season that went into effect during the 23-24 season. But so Larkin signs that extension, and immediately after signing the extension, the Red Wings traded away Tyler Bertuzzi, who was one of his best friends on his team, and Larkin was pretty upset about it. And it kind of led to a really awkward, interesting press conference I remember being at, where basically, I've never seen this before, where a player who just signed a long-term extension with the team is basically being brought to tears by where things are going. That happened during the 22-23 season. A couple years later, last year, Larkin at his exit interviews basically says, we didn't get the help we thought we deserved at the deadline. Yzerman kind of bit back at that a little bit in his comments about top players performing, everything like that. So it's like, there's been kind of this whole, for Larkin, it's twofold. I think it's him and Yzerman are clearly no longer seeing eye to eye. And it's also the frustration of where things have gone, like just 5 playoff games in an entire career. And I think there's also a moment, Gavin, where I think winning a gold medal with Team USA, and I thought Larkin was really good in that tournament, to be clear, probably actually helped speed this up, where when you get a taste of something, right, you get a taste of winning, and you get to go on that parade, basically the victory tour that team went on, and you get to go to Florida with the Tkachuk brothers and everything like that, and you're enjoying it and you're celebrating it, and then you stop and think about how far you really are from ever winning something like this in Detroit. And I'm going to be very clear. Larkin hasn't told that to me. This is me kind of breaking it down as watching closely and seeing the situation. Sure. I think just the frustration hit a boiling point, and it was, and that's kind of the end of it. And so, it's fascinating because it's a trade request. He has full no trade protection, so he technically can call his shot where he goes. But Yzerman also doesn't necessarily have to give the request, right? Like, that's the other part of this, where who the heck knows where this is going to go, because it's two sides who both have power in it. And this could get very messy and ugly before it gets better if something's not done quickly. Because can you imagine, Gavin, for any team, can you imagine going into training camp with your captain having requested a trade?
No.
It's just, that's not like, there's no way you can have that person as your captain. So are you going to honor the request? Are you going to make the trade, or are you going to try and hold? Does it become like and when you consider where Larkin's from, being a Michigan native, a hometown kid, everything like that, this is obviously not something anyone would have expected going back a few years, to see something like this.
Yeah.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
It's kind of sad. At the same time, I guess the second part of my question is you and I both think Jason Robertson will sign with the Stars.
Yes,
but if for some reason, Dylan Larkin compared to Jason Robertson, because there are Stars fans that throw that out there and use the extra $4 million to, let's say, sign Maverick Bork.
Well, if so, I would rather have Jason Robertson than Dylan Larkin. I want to be clear on that, but if you're the Dallas Stars and you reach that impasse point of, hey, we're not going to get it done with Robertson. Larkin is a pretty good, I don't want to say door prize or consolation prize, but I think Larkin would be a pretty good way that Larkin becomes what Carolina did. And like, to be clear, I think you and I talked about the Mikko Rantanen trade before. Like, I don't like the whole, the Stars may have lost the Mikko Rantanen trade stuff. I think that's all BS. But the way Carolina, and give full credit to Carolina, the way they pivoted and they turned what would have been the Mikko Rantanen cap space into Logan Stankoven and Nikolai Ehlers. So if you're a Dallas perspective, if you see Robertson is not going to be the solution, you're not going to make it work. Is your landing pad getting Maverick Bork signed to a good extension and not having to axe someone else and getting Dylan Larkin in for the 8.7 million? That's not a bad pivot. That may be one of the best solutions I've heard to the Robertson thought process, honestly, because as I've said on this show, I see very few places and opportunities where a Robertson trade improves the team. But if it comes to the point of this trade has to happen, working to deal with Detroit for Larkin, and that cap space, it's not the worst idea in the world. And Nosto, it's a four-year term on the deal. It kind of buys a little bit. It also kind of covers up a little bit of the, from a Dallas perspective, if we go down this this wormhole, it makes Radek Foxa a little bit more expendable, just because you're adding another center.
Yep.
It also adds some cover for the. Adds some cover and takes away some of the pressure and expectation on Roope Hintz. Just like being a bit blunt, right? Where Roope Hintz has a hard time staying healthy. And so if you're going Wyatt Johnston, Roope Hintz, Dylan Larkin down the middle, are there many NHL teams that can compete with that?
Right.
That's pretty damn good.
And Sean, you've covered him for years. Isn't this not like bringing in kind of a Joe Pavelski, a longtime captain that has great leadership ability?
See, here's the thing about Dylan, and I don't want to rip anyone's leadership ability.
Sure.
He's never been the leader on a winning team, right? Like, so it's the whole point, they've never won. They've been like, I think he's a really I think he's someone who, personality-wise, I think some of the pressures of being the captain of your original six hometown team have really worn down on him. I think he's someone who would come in to this team. If he was to go to Dallas, he was someone who would come in and would kind of embrace the way and I want to talk about kind of embrace what a lot of players have talked about in Dallas, of the ability to kind of step back and get the life reset and just focus on hockey and focus on hockey without being on the marquee. And that's something that I think the Stars would really offer Larkin really well, because all of a sudden it's much easier to be the supporting cast and a really good member of the supporting cast. And maybe he has a letter, maybe he doesn't, but I think it's more so the part of he adds kind of part to your room, where he also comes in with that. It's not a quote unquote, just because you've been a captain doesn't mean, well, hey, all of a sudden you're going to step in and be a leader in another room. I think that's an important element of this. That's not a negative point. I just think that's an important element here to remember.
So in this offseason, last time I talked about Nils Lundqvist, I like asking offseason questions, and mm-hmm. I texted you this question regarding Thomas Harley. Should we put a question mark, or do we consider last year with the Olympics, with the years of the Western Conference Finals, maybe some injuries involved, do we consider last year an anomaly, or should we keep an eye on this?
It's a great question. It really is. I think last year was, if you look at just, and obviously it's not the best to just go up just off point totals and everything like that, but he goes from 34 points during the 23-24, he has 47 points, I think it's 50 points, 36 points. At the Olympics, he had 4 points in 6 games at the Olympics, and I thought he was mm-hmm. a little bit more of himself after the Olympics. I look at Harley this way, where I think last year was that wall that you kind of learn about the league knows you. I mean, he was 24 year old season, and all of a sudden he was getting way more attention and everything like that. And I think there's a little bit of a learning curve for that. And I think he's someone who also dealt with the schedule craziness too, a little bit more than others. So I am not worried about Thomas Harley. I'm not actually worried about that deal, as I know it's a lot of money. I know it's 10.6 million that goes through the 33-34 season. But I'm honestly, with the cap going up and where it's going, to me, Thomas Harley isn't a problem. And I think there's improvement, and I think he's someone who's going to benefit from a long off season too. So yep. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic, and that might be, but that's kind of my view on it.
Two more for you. Yep. There was when, I think it was the late 70s, when people started first wearing helmets, you know, there was bravado involved, and then there was bravado involved when the face shields started to come about. And we saw what happened with Braden McNabb. 85 mile per hour slap shot, you know, taken to the hospital. Glad to know that he was back on the flight with Vegas to Vegas. But I guess the question is, Sean, is personally, I watch a lot of college hockey. I like watching junior hockey. The face guards don't bother me, the cages and things like that. Has there ever been a movement, or should there be a movement maybe to look to do that, or at least do players currently have the option, and would they be ridiculed if they did that?
Well, right now they're not allowed to wear the cage. It's actually within the rules. They're not allowed to wear a cage unless they're dealing with injury. So there's actually, within the rules, it's a visor is what you have to wear, not a cage. I think I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, Gavin, but I do think in our lifetime, there's going to be the evolution to everyone wearing cages, because the reality is this. Human beings have gotten faster and stronger, and technology has made the game quicker than ever before. And while, Al McInnis, one of the reasons Al McInnis firing a slap shot 100 miles an hour was so impressive was, hey, it's 100 miles an hour, but that wasn't, it was so much above what everyone else could do. I mean, like, think about baseball pitching, Gavin. I know you're a baseball guy, and obviously, yep. like, think about the amount of guys who can throw 100 now, right? Like, it used to be maybe a couple of teams had a guy, like, it used to be 98 was a high speed fastball, and now it's triple digits we got guys throwing 98 mile an hour cutters, right? Like it's absolutely ridiculous. And so I think as the sport gets faster and the technology gets faster, because that's going to keep going, eventually it's going to get to the point of, you know, in your and I's lifetime, where the reality is going to be, it's too dangerous, right? It's too dangerous not to have the proper facial protection and everything like that. I don't think it's anytime soon. Also, I think as long as fighting is still kind of part of the culture, and it's become yeah. less and less part of the culture, but as long as fighting is part of the culture, visors will never happen. I mean, cages will never happen. But I'll submit this to you, Gavin. Go watch a college hockey game. Someone go sit down and watch a college hockey game and tell me if your viewing experience is really impacted by guys wearing a cage.
Right.
I don't know what to say to you. So
yeah, I agree. I mean, and it's not just pucks to the face. I look at how many high sticks there are now because of the, the composition of the sticks, and it's interesting. I agree. I see it in the future. Okay. Finally, really important announcement, I think. The USHL, which Sean, you've covered, and I've done some interviews with players in the USHL, basically the junior league of the United States, they announced plans to partner with several stakeholders, including USA Hockey and the NHL, to establish member clubs in California, Arizona, and Nevada, making the league's uh-huh. first major expansion into the Western United States. So they are expanding, and that got me thinking, here locally in North Texas, we have the NAHL with the Brahmas, but I was just thinking, based on the Stars arena announcement and based on the Mavs arena announcement, that, you know, could we see maybe a USHL team sometime in the near future up in Frisco? They have the facility. They have the stadium. I don't think it's used a bunch. So, you know, just a thought.
I'm actually kind of surprised, Gavin, that, and now I'm assuming, and I've done some chatting with some people, and I know June 24th is supposed to be the date we learn a lot more about this USHL expansion. But I was kind of surprised that Texas wasn't at least listed on this list,
yeah.
but that's probably partially, I bet they've got the places already lined up where they want to go. The USHL has had a footprint in Texas, right? There's been, since 2020, obviously with a break for COVID after in 2021, there was the USHL has hosted its Frosty Cup down in Texas. It was actually originally hosted in the Cotton Bowl after the Winter Classic all the way back in 2020. And then each year in January, there's like a two game set down in they call it the Frosty Cup in the middle of the season that they've hosted at the Comerica Center. So, I think the USHL it's a league that is going through its own evolution right now with mm-hmm. what's happening with the CHL and where things are going. It is a better team than the NHL, the North American Hockey League. So with the Western expansion, and obviously this one is California, Nevada, and Arizona. Once those are in place, if the USHL's for the USHL growth, and kind of we'll see where things go with the CHL stuff, I would not be surprised if Texas is in the loop in the future. And I don't know. It's a great question when it comes to junior hockey, Gavin, because the question often comes down to, is it a labor of love or a labor of business, right? Because yeah. I don't know if a team, because I had, like, from a player perspective and talent acquisition, a USHL team in Frisco or Dallas or whatever wouldn't be competing with the Brahmas for the same players.
Right.
I don't even know if they'd be competing for the same. They'd be competing for some of the same clientele, but I'd be curious how much of the same clientele they compete for, right? Because obviously there's a ton of stuff going on right now with them in Stars World about where and when they'll play and the new arena and everything and with the Metroplex, right? Like, I think someone who's going to a Brahmas game is probably in, I don't know if that person is in the same geographic spot to go to a game for a potential team in Frisco or something like that. So,
yeah,
like, I mean, you and I know this, Gavin, and I think and a lot of our listeners know this, but like DFW is so huge. Like, I think there's enough people to support various things. And so I would be curious to potentially do the research there of how much it actually would impact the North American Hockey League. But the reality is, and I think this is an important note, if the USHL continues to thrive and finds the space and builds and kind of gets through some of all this stuff going on with the CHL, I would not be surprised if the Western expansion doesn't include Texas at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely something to watch. You are a bevy of information. I quickly end on this. Two of my talk hosts were out hanging out, watching some games the other night, and they ran into somebody that was a sports fan, and they were wearing Stars gear, and they started chatting, and they said, "Have you ever listened to Spits and Suds?" And he looked at them and said, "Every single episode."
That's awesome.
It was such a great feeling when they were telling me this story, and went on to say, "I like Spits and Suds because it's real talk. I feel as though they care." I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I mean, it was a day maker. So Jin Park is the name. And if you listen to every episode, I'm calling you out and I am giving you a big time stick tap, Jin, and can't wait to meet you. Sean and I are trying to figure out some big plans where we can do some cool stuff with Spits and Suds because our teammates / listeners have been so amazing. So I just thought it was a great story to end on, Sean.
Yep, definitely. I love that, Gavin. And thank you to everyone who listens to this show. And I really enjoy this. So thank you as well, man.
Absolutely. So go check out and support D Magazine because Sean just had an article released in D Magazine this week. So let's support the people at D Magazine. All of Sean's stuff you can find at Sean Shapiro. Shap Shots is his Substack where you get detailed information. I love reading about, you know, when Sean does personal stuff, but also you'll hear from the Combine. Obviously, where he was last week up in Canada, he's all over the place covering hockey, and you can get great information. Feed that hockey brain by subscribing. It's such a low monthly fee to Shap Shots, and that's Sean's Substack. Sean also mentioned the draft guide is out from Elite Prospects. Sean is part of that. And Elite Prospects is what I call the encyclopedia of hockey. Just in this podcast, I was looking up two or three things. So it's a fascinating website. So support them at eprinkside.com. And everything you need to know about Sean is at Sean Shapiro. Thanks once again to Sean, live from Buffalo at the NHL Draft Combine. Great information from him. Special thanks to Gregory Finley for producing this program. Also to the on-time experts. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Stick tap to each and every one of you. Spread the word. We're providing content this offseason right here on Spits and Suds. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.
Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.